VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Just before we introduce our guest and topic for today, we'd like to welcome for the first time here on Crosstalk new listeners to a brand new outlet for VCY America programming. It is over KREV, 92.7 Alameda, California. You may not recognize Alameda, but that's San Francisco, Oakland area. And just have begun broadcasting VCY America programming. A special welcome to you each day as at this time we talk about the issues that are impacting us as a nation and as a church. And thank you so much for joining us, as well as those who are finding us now over 104.3 in Las Vegas as well. Glad to have you with us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, over recent months and years, the concept of deplatforming has grabbed hold of our society. The blatant deplatforming of conservative thought and presentation has been escalating in our cancel culture society. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and many other forms of social media are aggressively deplatforming or placing editorial comments on postings and issues that do not espouse the secular globalist worldview that they adhere to. Many of you have experienced that very aspect, and many are greatly concerned by what's taking place. But I want to tell you something, folks. There's another kind of deplatforming that's currently underway that, in my opinion, is far more egregious than this, and that is the growing number of churches that are actually deplatforming the Bible. Specifically, there are great efforts underway to deplatform Genesis and to deplatform organizations such as what our guest represents today. And when once we had pulpits that proclaimed, "Thus saith the Lord" across America, they are now joining the chorus, "Yea, hath God said?" Well, here with discussion on this critical matter, we welcome to Crosstalk Ken Ham, the president, CEO, and founder of Answers in Genesis U.S. and the highly acclaimed Creation Museum, the world-renowned Ark Encounter. Ken is one of the most in-demand Christian speakers in North America and is author of numerous works that his Answers with Ken Ham daily feature airs on some 950 radio outlets. Ken, good to have you with us today on Crosstalk.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Great to be with you again.
Well, Ken, this matter of deplatforming Genesis is really a growing concern across our nation around the world. And Ken, I was reading your monthly newsletter as it comes out, and I was just shocked by what I read there. And you've since now posted this on your blog as well. But earlier this year, you had one of your Answers in Genesis speakers, Dr. Terry Mortensen, in a church who experienced firsthand this matter of deplatforming. And I'd like you to explain to our listeners what took place, what topic was he speaking on, what happened in a church that he had been invited to speak.
Well, you know, people would probably say, Answers in Genesis, don't people know what you stand for? And one of your speakers was, you know, I called it deplatforming, and people see why I say that here in a moment. How could that happen? Well, first of all, one of our other speakers, Dr. Danny Faulkner, who's an astronomer, mm-hmm. was actually scheduled to speak at the church, and, you know, the pastor wanted to speak on Genesis, and he would generally speak on, you know, how great God is and the universe and so on, and generally creation. But he got sick, and these days, you know, you get a sniffle and you can't go anywhere. So we had to have a speaker fill in for him because he couldn't go. And so Dr. Terry Mortensen graciously agreed to go. Well, Terry speaks on the same sort of topics I do. When he speaks on Genesis, he speaks on the relevance of Genesis, and that is that it's foundation to all of our doctrine, and we particularly mention how marriage is founded in Genesis, gender is founded in Genesis. You know, Genesis 1:27, God made male and female. Genesis 2:24, the male from dust, woman from his sides, you become one in when you're married, you know, one because you're one flesh. And so, in other words, marriage is one man, one woman, male and female. And, you know, one of the things that Terry said when he was speaking at this church and in the first service, he said that, well, when you talk about issues like adultery, fornication, pornography, homosexuality, and transgenderism, he said they're all contrary to God's commands, and therefore they are sin. Well, that's when the pastor was pretty upset with Terry and called him into an office after the first service and told him that he didn't want him talking on those issues, especially the LGBT comment, because he didn't want that really being said in his church, and to replace the marriage section with something about God's greatness in creation. And, you know, one of the things that we're finding more and more is that there are many churches becoming very soft on the LGBT issue, because if you take a stand on God's word, and, you know, I need to say here right from the start, just because we have a worldview that's different to LGBT doesn't mean we hate them, not at all. We've got to understand we have different worldviews because we have different starting points. Because we have the foundation in God's word and a literal Genesis, then our worldview is marriage is one man for one woman. Transgenderism is sin. Homosexuality is, homosexual behavior is sin. And marriage is one man for one woman. Gay marriage is sin. It's wrong. And so we've got to understand that doesn't mean you hate someone. It means you have a different worldview, that's for sure, because we have a different foundation. But that pastor didn't want Terry saying that. Apparently there were some LGBT people in the audience. And isn't it interesting how that's the particular issue that is singled out, you know? And then the other thing was interesting that Terry spoke on the fact that when you have millions of years, that's undermining the authority of God's word in Genesis, and you can't have death before sin. If you believe in millions of years, you got, as a Christian, you got death before sin. Well, some people got upset and accused Terry of saying that that means if you believe in millions of years, you can't be a Christian. Well, we've never, ever said that, and the pastor was concerned about that and asked him to sort of change that message at the night time for the message that was going to be given then. But it's interesting, the next week...
I mean, Dr. Mortensen, I mean, he changed things up a little bit, not to talk on some of the things the pastor didn't want him to talk on in the second service?
He could have just said, well, I'm not going to speak and leave, but then he's already there, the people are there, you don't want to cause major division or anything like that.
Right.
And so... Terry was still adamant, talked about, the importance of believing a literal Genesis, but didn't mention some of those specifics just for the sake of that particular time and because of what had happened. But, he was willing to publicly talk about it afterwards, as I did in my newsletter, because, I mean, this was Grace Point Church in Bentonville, Arkansas, and the interesting thing was the next week the pastor made an apology to the church. And basically said, that shouldn't have been said that way in the service in the past. And then they deleted the talks that Terry had done off their website and Facebook. So those talks are no longer there. So he was effectively deplatformed, if you like. And, when you read through the pastor's apology, I tell you, it is... most of it, I don't even know what he's really saying. And I actually printed it on, my blog. It's on there. On our website, and it was in a monthly letter that was sent out. But one of the things, as you listen to what he's saying, you realize he doesn't believe in a literal Genesis, and he allows for millions of years, because he even said things like, whatever people believe in, there's those that believe in, 6 days, and those that are young earth, those that are gap theorists, those that are day age. There's a lot of believers that fit into all sorts of camps. Wherever you find yourself, you see the story of creation. In other words, you can have all these different views. And he even talked about, look, when God was creating, he was giving the elements functionality. Well, I've heard that view before, where they believe everything was created over billions of years, and what God did in Genesis, when you look at the days of creation, wasn't specifically creating those things on those days, but was giving them functionality because they already existed. And so you can tell that pastor didn't take a stand on Genesis and didn't want to be seen publicly taking a stand as a church against LGBT as sin or anything like that. And so this is the sort of thing that people need to realize. A lot of churches are like this. The reason you don't get to hear about it is because there's not a specific instance where you had an AIG speaker who happened to be there and say these things, and then you realize what they believe. I think people would be shocked to find that a lot of the churches they go to, probably that's what their pastor would do if they, had an AIG speaker. Not that they would even invite an AIG speaker, but this just happened to be when Terry was filling in for someone and said those things. And then it brings to light, this is happening. This is not just this church.
Right.
We need to understand. There'll be a lot of churches across America that would do the same thing. They will not take a stand on a literal Genesis and won't take a stand against the LGBT worldview, which, again, I want to reiterate, that's not hating someone at all.
Right.
It's just saying, hey, we're Christians. We believe the Bible is true, beginning in Genesis. That is the foundation for our doctrine. Therefore, our worldview is that marriage is a man and a woman, and homosexual behavior is wrong, transgenderism is wrong. It's all sin. But we're never gonna deal with people who disagree with us at the worldview level, because the real clash is foundationally. They have a different foundation for their worldview than I do, and that's where the real battle is at.
You know, Ken, I saw the pastor said he wanted to handle topics delicately, and I wondered to myself, how do we handle such things as marriage delicately, or God made them male and female delicately? I mean, Dr. Mortensen, he was not there calling names. He was not giving put-downs. He was not doing anything of that sort, was he?
Oh, no, not at all. If you know Terry is one of the most gracious people you could ever find. And actually, our staff just shook their heads when they heard this. They said, Terry, of all people, because he is. He's very gracious in the way he says things. But you know what? He is also bold in saying things very, very biblically. And think about this. He didn't just single out homosexuality or transgenderism.
Right.
I mean, he said adultery, fornication, pornography. So, you know, if you said that, and here's the interesting thing, if you said that in these churches, probably nothing would be said to you. You know, if you just said adultery, fornication, pornography is sin, oh yeah. But as soon as you say LGBT and transgenderism, mm-hmm. Homosexual behavior, suddenly, wow, you can't do that, because that's unfortunately a topic that seems to be driving our entire culture right now, and really is sorting out those who believe God's word as they should and those who don't.
Ken Ham with us today, president, CEO, and founder of Answers in Genesis. Ken, I saw another point of his apology that the pastor made the week after, and he said, let me say this again in case you missed it before. When he creates humanity, he makes us one. He put man and woman together. He made them one. They were equal. They were one, and he made them one in that perfect order. So any form of racism, fascism, sexism, classism, nationalism is where we say our nation is better than your nation. Wherever we say any of that, it's from the pit of hell. It's not part of God's original design. And I found that interesting because, of course, we came from a president who believed strongly in nationalism, that is, putting the needs and interest of our nation as our president, you know, first in that regard. But yet, in a time of political correctness, this is very much frowned upon in our society today.
Well, not only that, but if you actually look at the sentence before then, because I have the letter in front of me, and where I've had his whole apology actually was transcribed, he says, so he put man and woman together and he made them one. They were equal.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, here's a problem. This whole emphasis of equality when God gives us different roles and he made us differently.
Indeed, he did. We're going to take a quick one-minute break. Ken Ham with us today from Answers in Genesis. Our topic is deplatforming Genesis. And ladies and gentlemen, it is happening in churches across the nation. Not just churches, Bible colleges, universities as well. More to come in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have investigators found any evidence of life in outer space?
Not a bit, Chris. They've pointed their telescopes to the skies, hoping to pick up any signal that's non-random, like Morse code. Actually, they're setting their sights rather low. They think that just a few letters would indicate intelligent life. But at the same time, scientists look at the incredibly complex information-loaded DNA code with billions of letters all in a precise sequence and call it random. In spite of this incredible complexity, atheistic scientists refuse to believe that it's the evidence of intelligence. Yet they say that the simple hoped-for code from outer space would be the sign of intelligent life. How inconsistent! At least the creation model doesn't depend on claims such as this. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today is Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. And folks, yes, we're talking about deplatforming Genesis. Sad to say it's going on in many a church, and it's growing, this deplatforming that's going on in Bible colleges, universities as well. More on that in just a moment. Ken, it's been exciting to see the growth that's taking place at Creation Museum and also Ark Encounter. I know sometimes people ask, is it open in such times? You are open.
Yeah, oh yes. We were shut down for 3 months last year because of the whole COVID regulations and so on, but we opened again in June of 2020. And we have had actually record crowds, you know, for spring break. And I mean, even considering the bus tours, you know, all canceled, hundreds and hundreds of bus tours, they probably won't come back for tourism until later in the year, and then probably the next 2 years it'll take for them to recover. But we've been getting families pouring into the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum, because I think a lot of people realize this nation is in big trouble. The spiritual state of this nation is catastrophic. They see what's going on, and many of them have said to me, we want to make sure we impact our families for the Lord, and we realize that spiritual legacy is the most important. That's why we're bringing them to a family-friendly, God-honoring place we can trust, because, you know, you even have Disney through their cartoons and other places, you know, imposing the LGBT worldview on people, and then Disney just changed its dressing code for its staff to allow, you know, what they call inclusion, and you know what that means, right, at their parks. So people are realizing more and more we want to bring our families to God-honoring places. And I tell you, it's been amazing to see people pouring in from all across the nation.
And Ken, I just speak about one of the exhibits that has become front and center of recent, the Fearfully and Wonderfully Made exhibit.
Yes, we opened a Fearfully and Wonderfully Made exhibit last year, and it's at the Creation Museum. I believe it is the most powerful pro-life exhibit in the world. It is absolutely amazing and stunning. People are absolutely raving over it, and we're going to triple it in size for next year. We're actually building another one at the Creation Museum. We're going to triple this in size, and it really deals with the abortion issue and helps people understand what happens from fertilization, that we're 100% human, unique combination of information made in God's image right from fertilization. It shows people all that goes on and lots of information that many people aren't aware of, and really deals with this issue. And we deal with it delicately, too, because we mm-hmm. talk about God's a God of love, a God of grace, a God of forgiveness as well. So we deal with that issue, too. But it is an amazing exhibit. In fact, our designers couldn't find any models of the development of a child in its mother's womb, right from fertilization, right through to birth. We couldn't find models that were good enough anywhere in the world. They made their own. They are so stunning. We actually have to have signs saying these are not real models. Wow. These are not real. They're actually models. And there's nothing else like them in the world. The quality of this exhibit is astounding.
Well, folks, over 140 state-of-the-art exhibits. Check it out, creationmuseum.org, arkencounter.com. And again, Ken, I know as people see that ark for the first time, they hear that three-letter word, wow.
They certainly do. I mean, when they see the size of that, 1.5 times the length of a football field, half the width of a football field, stands 7 stories high, 10 stories at the bow, 3.3 million board feet of timber, and filled with exhibits, and a zoo behind it, and we have a virtual reality experience, and a 2,500-seat auditorium, and zip lines, and our amazing restaurant, 1,700-seat restaurant, and other food venues. I mean, it is an amazing place. And really, the Ark and the Creation Museum are the two leading Christian-themed attractions in the world, and Northern Kentucky now has become the biggest faith-based tourist destination in America.
Well, tremendous. And VCY's got a bus heading your direction next month, and it filled up so fast, we're looking at what we can do for some other dates there as well. So, folks, check it out, arkencounter.com, creationmuseum.org. Well, Ken, we're talking about this deplatforming of Genesis, and you shared, you know, what the pastor had said, even in an apology the week after. He's removed the message from Dr. Terry Mortensen, removed it from their social platforms there as well. Don't want people to know what he had to say about Thus Saith the Lord in Genesis 1-11 there. But you pointed out that one of the aspects he referred to in his apology speech, basically, is pointing toward equality. And that is a huge buzzword right now, Ken. And right now we see what's going on with the so-called Equality Act in Congress. The House has already passed it. It's waiting on the doors of the Senate at this time. But this buzzword for equality, God did make man and women, but he's got different roles and different ideals for each one.
Well, he made them differently. You know, it was interesting, the President of the United States just recently made a comment that females can do whatever males can do. Well, that's a stupid statement. Can mm-hmm. I say stupid? Am I allowed to? It's a nonsense statement because females and males are made differently. Biologically, we're differently. Males can't give birth to babies. I mean, there's major differences. And then, you know, from a biblical perspective, God made male and female differently. He made males from dust. He made the first male from dust. And then he made the first female from Adam's side. And he said it's not good for man to be alone. And so he made Eve as a helpmeet. And then God tells us that men and women have different roles. You know, the man is to be the spiritual head of the wife, of the family. But the man is also to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And the wife is to be submissive to the husband in her role. So you're to submit to each other, the Bible says, in the roles God gave to us. And, you know, if you look at Genesis 3:16, because of sin, God has a warning for us. You know, there's going to be pain in childbirth now because of sin. But it also talks there about sin crouching at the door and desiring to take us over like he told Cain that it was doing, and that what's going to happen now, because of sin, our roles will be distorted, and women will want to take over the role of the man, and the man will want to lord it despotically over the woman, and we see that happening all over the world. In fact, if you look at the feminist movement that has even invaded churches, there's this idea of, you know, women wanting to do the roles of man, and unfortunately men aren't loving their wives in a lot of instances like they should be. So we see what sin is doing, but what we need to be saying to ourselves is it's not a matter of what the world says about equality or anything like this. It's a matter of what does God say about how he created us, who we are, what our roles are, the warning about what sin is likely to do so that we can make sure we don't succumb to it. And you know, this whole idea of equality, too, and the Equality Act is also really saying that if you believe what the Bible believes about men and women, male and female, and roles of father and mother and so on, then actually what they're going to do is they're going to try to shut us down. I mean, that's really the end game here. It's really... everything is equal except Christians. Christians are the ones that really are being outlawed more and more in our culture. Mm-hmm. We're seeing this anti-Christian worldview that's permeating the culture. And you know, as you look at what's happening with the LGBT movement, you know, originally people said, "Oh, they just want freedom for their views." But then you start to realize it's not freedom for their views; it's to force acceptance by everyone. That everyone accepts their view as a valid view. But as Christians, we have to say, no, we have to judge your worldview against the absolute authority of the Word of God. And when we do that, you know, men and women are male, and they're male and female, and they have different roles, and marriage is a man and a woman. And as Christians, we have to stand boldly on God's Word. And, you know, pastors like the one we're talking about, unfortunately, are not raising up generations and teaching them mm-hmm. to stand on God's Word as we should. Lovingly, you know, we give love, but you've got to call sin for what it is at the same time.
Amen. Amen. Ken Ham with us today. Ken, you made a very interesting statement in your newsletter and your blog, which you wrote concerning this, and you said this: once Genesis is deplatformed from the church, then the Easter message, the gospel, has been deplatformed from its foundational history. Flesh that out for us.
Well, you know, there are many, many churches and Bible colleges and Christian colleges, in fact, the majority, who would say Genesis is not important, it doesn't matter, you can believe in evolution, you can believe in millions of years. That's the majority of our church. Now, not all. There's some great pastors and churches out there, as you know, who stand on God's Word. But all of our doctrines are founded in Genesis. The gospel is founded in Genesis. Genesis 1 to 11 is the geological, biological, astronomical, anthropological history that's foundational to every doctrine. Think about it. Where's the origin of sin? Genesis. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Genesis. Why is he called the last Adam? Take the place of the first Adam. Genesis. Why do we need a new heavens and a new earth? Genesis. Why do we wear clothes? Genesis. Why is marriage a man and a woman? Genesis. Why are there only two genders, male and female, in humans? Genesis. Genesis is the foundation for the rest of the Bible, for our Christian worldview, for all of our doctrines. And when you raise up generations and say Genesis is not important, doesn't matter, no wonder we have generations of young people who are walking away from the church. They're realizing if evolution is true and Genesis is not true, then how can you believe any of the Bible? No wonder they're saying, why can't it be a man and a man in marriage, or a woman and a woman? You think about it. If you've told generations you can take man's ideas of evolution of millions of years outside of Scripture and add them to the Bible and reinterpret Genesis, why can't you take man's views of marriage and reinterpret Genesis? And so it goes on. And so, you know, have a look at the church today. There's an incredible exodus of the younger generations. In fact, when you look at Generation Z and the millennials, we're down to about 11% church attendance. When you look at the greatest generation, those born before 1928, 56% of them went to church. We're seeing an incredible decline in church attendance, a loss of the younger generations from the church, and I believe it's directly related to the fact that the church, God's people, the leaders, haven't taken a stand on God's word beginning in Genesis, because in this era, Genesis has been attacked in a big way through the teaching of evolution of millions of years, and a lot of the church has succumbed. And we said, don't worry about that, just trust in Jesus. But if you don't have the foundational history in Genesis, you've got no foundation for the gospel. The gospel's founded in Genesis. And ultimately, those generations are going to just say, how can you trust the Bible? And off they go. And that's exactly what's happening.
Ken, I'm sure that you've seen the George Barna study that came out recently. He said that 94% of Americans do not hold a biblical worldview, and also pointed out his findings that this worldview in America develops by default. And I read this, and I, you know, as you just talked about what's happening within the church, I asked myself, where is the church in all of this here at this time? I mean, we're seeing a growing secular society today around us. And you know, fingers point back, what is the role of the church in such a time as this?
Well, you see, here's the problem. And if people can sort of understand what I'm saying here, a lot of what we hear from a lot of churches and sermons, it's pretty shallow. A lot of it's from the Bible within the Bible. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Bible stories, Jonah and the great fish, feeding the 5,000, Paul's missionary journey, and so on. And a lot of it's even more shallow than that. But, you know, I'm not saying that that's not true and we shouldn't be teaching that. But you see, we do need to teach those accounts from Scripture, and we need to teach them in depth, and we need to teach the spiritual things that come from that. But the Bible is much more than that. That Genesis 1 to 11 is the foundation for our whole worldview. Have we really raised up generations to understand not just the spiritual things, the moral things, relationships, but that the Bible is the foundation for a whole worldview, a whole way of thinking and teaching, that Genesis 1 to 11 is the foundation for all of our doctrine? I mean, you've got to have the details of Genesis 1 to have a truly Christian worldview.
Ken Ham, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Let's open some phone lines. Our number 800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. We're talking about deplatforming Genesis. Friends, it's happening, sadly so. We're addressing that issue today, and we'll be back in a minute.
For 2,000 years, Christians have courageously faced beatings, stonings, torture, burnings, and every form of evil for boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. The book, Fox's Voice of the Martyrs, AD 33 to today, tells their story. This all-new edition includes the stories of more than 100 Christian martyrs not included in John Fox's original work. It includes heroes from the early church to the Reformation to the 21st century. Read about Nate Saint, Watchman Nee, and dozens of stories of 67 others who have stood faithfully to the death. Their courage in the face of Islamic groups, brutal dictatorships, and government crackdowns will inspire you to be a bold witness. This hardcover, soul-stirring book available from VCY for your donation of $20 or more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Ken Ham is with us today from Answers in Genesis, their website, answersingenesis.org. Folks, I go to that site on a regular basis, and when I am looking for answers to some issues, you know, you can put it so easily into their search engine, and they've written many articles or addressed it in some form or fashion, and it's been a great help, and certainly would commend their website to you, and also their exhibits, Creation Museum, Ark Encounter. Certainly worth taking your family or a busload too, and participate in seeing these marvels, and certainly those which uphold the Word of God. One of the things I've always commended this ministry for is that they are unashamedly there for the gospel, and they are very blatant with the gospel. The gospel message is there, and it is well worth your time to visit Creation Museum, Ark Encounter, and also take make avail of yourself to the materials that they have. By the way, Ken is going to be speaking at our upcoming VCY rally here in Southeast Wisconsin, September 18th. So folks, mark down that date on your calendar. We will be broadcasting it live over our network as well, but plan to be out September 18th. Ken, just a quick word here before we take our lines are all packed out here. But again, a quick word, though, as to we've talked about the churches, and you made reference as well to what's happening within Bible colleges and universities. And sad to say, there are many that are taking this very same tact and deplatforming Genesis there as well.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we've done a lot of research on that, even published a book a few years ago on research we did on Christian colleges and Bible colleges, and called Already Compromised, showing that the majority of their professors actually would take a stand on against a literal Genesis or against the young earth and so on. And see, here's the problem, is that one of the reasons that a lot of these young people have just walked away from the church, I mean, they really have. We've been losing two-thirds of young people by the time they reach college age from our churches for a long time, and it's because these colleges and churches have not been teaching God's Word as they should from the very beginning, and they don't teach them a true Christian worldview. You know, even many Christian schools use secular textbooks, and the point is you can't just add God to secular textbooks because their worldview has the wrong foundation. You can't just Christianize the secular worldview, and a lot of them would say you can teach evolution. And so we've got a major problem in the church, in that much of the church, Christian schools, colleges, Bible colleges, churches, have compromised God's Word in Genesis. It's been the particular attack on God's Word in this era of history, and the church has succumbed to it, and it's undermined the authority of the Word of God and caused generations to walk away from the church. And much of the church has tried to resort to entertainment and just emphasis on music to try to attract people and keep them in. They need to be teaching them apologetics to equip to defend the Christian faith.
Let's begin in Central Point, Oregon. And Karen, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say I really love Answers in Genesis, and three friends and I went to the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum in 2017. But I want to encourage parents that have children or adult children that have been indoctrinated with the whole evolutionary thing away from their Christian upbringing. My two daughters, who are now in their mid-30s, they're finally kind of stopping the assuming that all that is correct, and they're having doubts now about all of the evolutionary teaching, and one of them has fully come back to the Lord. So I just want to encourage people to just keep praying for these kids.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Karen.
And you know, Jim, what our ministry does is give answers that helps young people, for instance, say, wow, I never knew that. And you mean you can answer how Noah got the animals on the ark.
Yeah.
And so on, and really helps them.
And on that point, Ken, right now you've made it possible for kids 10 and under to be free at what is it, at the Creation Museum?
At the Ark and the Creation Museum, both. Yeah, because we realize we're losing those younger generations, so we allow 10-year-old and under in free. And so families are flocking here because they want their kids to get these answers, because it helps the Bible, make the Bible come alive and help them understand it really is true, you know?
Let's go to Jeff in Florida. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Be free.
Hello.
Yeah, Jeff, go ahead. Turn your radio down. You're on the air.
Okay. Hello. My name is Jeff from Pace. I was just had a question in general. I think about a lot of younger Christians have difficulty when they're taught evolution. Essentially, if Ken could just talk about the young Earth and how the carbon dating and uranium dating, has been able to, keep Christians away from the idea of a young Earth. And if he could just comment on that for us.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, well, very quickly, a lot of people, it's interesting that you use carbon dating, because a lot of people will say to me, oh, carbon dating has proved the Earth is millions of years old. Well, carbon dating actually has nothing to do with millions of years, because the half-life of radioactive carbon is just over 5,700 years. So after about 100,000 years, radioactive carbon-14 would not be there. And so if anything has a radiocarbon date, it means it can't be millions of years old. A lot of people don't understand how radiometric dating works, but it works if you think of uranium lead. Now, that has to do with supposed millions of years. And so radioactive element, uranium, breaks down into lead over a period of time. So if you get a rock and you analyze how much lead's there, how much uranium's there, and how fast it breaks down and so on, you can presumably date the rock. But the trouble is, you have to assume that there was no lead there to start with. You have to assume the rate of change has always been the same. You have to assume none of the daughter elements were leached out. All those assumptions can be shown to be invalid. Carbon dating itself has all sorts of assumptions. And so there's no way from so-called scientific methods like this that you can actually calculate the age of rocks. In fact, when Mount St. Helens erupted in May 18th, 1980, in the 1990s, they actually dated the lava dome that had built up there, and some of those dates gave hundreds of thousands up to millions of years, but we know it was formed in the 1990s. So dating methods are all fallible. That's what, remember, the only infallible dating method is God's word.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Let's go to Brad, West Dallas, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Brad.
Hi, brothers. This is a good program with the platforming of Genesis thing. It always has something to do with truth that people don't like. Like all nations made from one blood. We're only one race.
Mm-hmm.
God made established the times when men live, times of their habitation. He also set up the borders of their habitation. That's nations and national boundaries. People don't seem to like that, but that's tough. That's what he did. They call themselves Christians, these people, and yet they blaspheme Jesus and they call him a liar. They don't like creation, but he's the creator. They don't like prophecy. He prophesied, and they're 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like the fact that you live once and then the judgment. Well, Jesus is the judge.
Yeah.
So it's not going to end well.
And if I can just say that, that issue of races is a very, very important one, because, a lot of churches are even saying, oh, there's different races of people and so on. But you're right. The Bible teaches we all go back to Adam and Eve. There's only one race.
Mm-hmm.
There's different people groups because of the Tower of Babel. And churches should be teaching the truth concerning this, and so to understand that we're all family, we're all related to each other. That's why the gospel is for every tribe and nation, and get rid of this idea of different races. In fact, we're not even different skin colors. We're different skin shades just because of genetic variation, and it's really a minor variation. So it makes a big difference when you believe the history in Genesis.
Mm. Thank you, Brad.
This is so. And it's not just... And not just that, but if a church teaches this unbelief, then it's not a church. It might be a social club or a country club or a lot of things, but a church, it's not.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Rich in Burlington, you're on the air.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. I'm a retired public high school science teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord kept me in that ministry for 34 years, and I was prepared for the battle I would get there. I wasn't prepared for what would happen. I taught part-time at a couple of different Christian colleges, and I was teaching chemistry. I was confronted by a young woman in my chemistry class because this is at a Christian university with a seminary. I was confronted by a young woman in my chemistry class because I mentioned something about believing in six literal days.
Yeah.
Her father was a seminary professor at that university, and she challenged me, and she said her father would talk to me about it. I've actually debated. I was asked to debate in a setting at a public high school, making creation and evolution, and I was a public high school science teacher making the case for creation, and the person I was debating was the pastor of a Christian church.
Wow. Richard, thank you for sharing some of that. Ken, this is alarming. I mean, what is going on? And again, those who come under, you know, the guise of Christianity, this is who Rich was debating against.
Well, you know, 2 Corinthians 11:3, God has a warning for us through the Apostle Paul. He says, beware, the devil's going to use the same method on you as he did on Eve to get your position not believing God's word. What was the method he used on Eve? Genesis 3:1, did God really say?
Right.
In other words, the first attack was on God's word. And I call that the Genesis 3 attack. And down through the ages, there's been all sorts of attacks on God's word. But in the age we live in, that I would say started in the 1800s, the attack has particularly been on Genesis, when out of atheism came the belief that the layers of fossils were laid down millions of years before man, and there were Christian leaders who said, we'll take the millions of years and put them in a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, the gap theory, or the days of creation, the day-age theory. Along came Darwin's ideas of evolution. Then many Christian leaders said, we'll say God used evolution. And so it went on. And those compromised views have now permeated the church. And the younger generations realize if Genesis is not true, how come the rest is true? And they're walking away from the church. But it's sad, much of the church has succumbed. And you know, it's no different to the Israelites compromising with the pagan religion of the age, because we need to say it. You know what evolution is in millions of years? The pagan religion of the age to try to explain life, the universe, without God. And much of the church has compromised with it. It's undermined God's word, and it's destroying the younger generations. And really, it's the church's fault as to what's happened in this nation.
Wow. Wow. Rich, thank you so much for addressing this issue.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Greg in Cincinnati, Ohio. Greg, you're on the air.
But I'm Brother Jim and Brother Ken. I've been listening to you for years. And I had something happen to me in 1975.
Very quickly, Greg.
That almost destroyed my faith, because a teacher of mine, she tried to tell me not to talk about the Bible, and they promoted this millions of years garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, it didn't destroy my faith.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You live in Cincinnati. Well, you know, the Creation Museum and the Ark are just south of Cincinnati, so you have great opportunity to come there and be able to see those wonderful attractions.
Thank you, Greg. Veronica in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air. Hello, Veronica. Okay, lost Veronica here then as well. Make sure your radios are turned down. And tell you what, we're just seconds from the break, so we're going to take the break, and we'll come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. Ken Ham is with us, answersingenesis.org. You can also find more at creationmuseum.org and arkencounter.com. We'll be back with more of your calls here right after the break. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Free speech is under assault today, and this has led CEO Mike Lindell to develop a new social media platform launching April 19th that is all about free speech, a platform for free speech. But does that mean he'll allow anyone to come on his social media and broadcast platform and say whatever they want? The answer is no. Why? Will he thus then be doing what he's been complaining about, suppressing free speech? No. Because there is a limit to speech. You can't scream fire in a building. You can be sued if you libel or slander someone. You can't make terroristic threats. And, well, obscenity is not part of free speech. But in America, we have a real blessing. As we defend a Christian worldview, the Judeo-Christian worldview, we're also defending a constitutional republic. Because William Blackstone, the leading scholar for the Founding Fathers, said, whatever the divine has ruled on, we don't rule against. Therefore, abortion, gay marriage, and the such, the divine has ruled. Therefore, we don't promote it.
Deplatforming Genesis, our topic today. Sadly, it's happening in churches. It's happening in Bible colleges. It's happening in seminaries. Friends, don't let it happen in your home. Don't let it happen in your church. And encourage you to be engaged with your church and encourage your pastor to hold to the authority of Scripture. We'll get some more thoughts on Ken on that topic here in just a bit. Let's go right back to the phone lines, though. In the state of Ohio, we have Linda calling. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I was reading a book years and years and years ago, and I can't remember the name of the book, but I remember these sentences that was in it. It said, in 1929, the Christians compromised their beliefs in a new earth, and evolution got a toehold into the schools, which is there today. And that was in 1929. Mm. So they've been teaching this for years and years and years.
Yeah, they have.
Yes, they certainly have. And in fact, much of the public education system now is throwing God out, the Bible out, prayer out. They've ripped any veneer of Christianity off, teach evolution as fact. They teach you can explain everything by natural processes, and naturalism is atheism. Sadly, the majority of kids from our churches have gone to that system and really been taught the atheistic worldview based in evolutionary ideas. And much of the church has allowed it and even endorsed it, and that's been a major problem.
Thank you, Linda. Let's try Veronica again in Pensacola. You're on the air. Hello, Veronica.
Evolution is back.
Okay. We're not going to be able to take your call, Veronica. Sorry about that. Danny in Lancaster, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Howdy. You know, I'm a simple man, and, you know, what's wrong with our churches? It's simple. They've left the Apostle Paul's gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, plus nothing. Mm-hmm. You've got 40% of the church people standing in churches saying it's all right to be a homosexual. You've got 50% of the preachers preaching it's okay to be a homosexual just as long as you feed the plate.
Well, you know, brothers, I think... Yeah, I mean, it's a spiritual issue. The Bible says there's more in the broad way than the narrow way, and men love the praise of men rather than the praise of God. And many of our Christian leaders have succumbed to that. They're intimidated by the world, and we don't want to seem like we're against what the world is teaching, and that's part of the problem. We need to boldly stand on God's word.
Yeah, thank you, Danny.
It takes the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the only way a man's going to be
saved. That's the gospel. You're right, Danny. You're right, Danny. It is the gospel message, and it's the gospel by which man is saved. Thank you. Bill in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Ken, thanks for taking my call. My biggest concern is with these ministers or preachers or whatever they call themselves, don't they know they're going to get judged way harsher on Judgment Day when they meet their Maker?
Yeah.
When they see Jesus, they're going to be held to an accountability that is way beyond the normal sinner.
Bill, James,
we're warned, be not many teachers or masters, because you will bear a stricter condemnation, and that's true. Teachers are going to be held to a higher account because they impact people's lives and what they believe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so very much for your call here, Bill. So critically important. And Ken, the question in all of this is, how do we get back on track? I mean, we see what's taking place. Sadly, I mean, your speakers saw firsthand what's the deplatforming taking place, saw that take place. How do we get back on track once again? How do we restore? How do we go back? You know, what meaneth these stones? I mean, how do we get to that point?
You know, education starts in the home. Parents need to be training their children, their grandchildren, to stand on God's word. They need to be equipping them with answers. Our organization is an apologetics organization. That's what we do through the Ark, the Creation Museum, our resources, because they're being bombarded with all this information through the public schools, universities, media, that's attacking God's word. Science has disproved the Bible. You can't trust Genesis, evolution, millions of years, and ever was a global flood. Who made God? We came from ape men. Except we need to be giving them answers to all of these questions and equipping them to help them understand God's word is true. We can defend our faith, teaching them the foundational truths of Genesis that are foundation to marriage, to all of our doctrines, and helping them understand what we should believe and why, so they won't be swept aside by this tornado of moral relativism that's ripping through the culture. We need to anchor them to the word of God and make sure they have a Christian worldview and teach them the answers to these skeptical questions and attacks.
Ken, I often think of the scripture, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Psalm 11:3. That's right. Think about it. You don't build a house by trying to build it from the roof down. You've got to start from the foundation. And the scripture says the foundation has to be the right one, rock, not sand. And so we need to build the foundation of God's word, and then the walls and the roof, in other words, the doctrines of Christianity and the worldview, that's what we need to be doing, making sure we got the right foundation. Our kids are getting the foundation of sand in the public education system and from the media. We need to take out that wrong foundation and put in the right one.
Ken, we have just a minute left here. And give me your thoughts as to how you see the future. Do you have hope? Will we see, you know, churches come around in this regard? Or are you greatly concerned as to the trajectory that we're on at this point?
Well, certainly what we see is catastrophic right now, and I believe God is really sifting the church. But you know what we need to do? We need to, regardless of what's happening out there, we need to be faithful. We need to stand on God's word as we should. And you know what the scripture teaches, what Jesus taught through that parable, you know, do business until he comes. In other words, we're to be on about the business of the king, proclaiming the truth of God's word and the gospel until he comes. And we're doing the best we can through the Ark, the Creation Museum, and our ministry. And I encourage families, hey, you know, if your churches aren't teaching what they should be, use the materials of Answers in Genesis, and then bring your families to the Ark and the Creation Museum, because that's what a lot of families are doing. And sadly, many are saying that they wish they had a church in their area that took the same stand as Answers in Genesis. There are some out there, but they're a minority, unfortunately.
As Joshua proclaimed, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And friends, as you see what's happening in society, you don't have to cave to the pressure. Churches don't have to. The small churches, well, I guess we have to go like the big church. No, you just stand on the authority of God's word. Thus saith the Lord. And Ken, we've got to get back to that foundational principle. And for leadership positions in the home and in the church, again, as Joshua proclaimed, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have to answer to the Lord for our children, yes, our families, and what we've done to them, done with them. And so, yes, we need to stand on God's word boldly and unashamedly. It doesn't matter what the world says. Remember, every one of our children is going to be a being that lives forever and ever and ever in heaven or hell.
Ken Ham, our guest here today. Ken, thank you for carving out the time to be with us.
Thanks, Jim.
Great. And if you can just hold the line for just a moment, friends, you've been listening to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis on the topic of deplatforming Genesis. Let's have a firm foundation. We have it. It's in the authority of God's word. Check out more at answersingenesis.org.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.